Hey everybody, this is Wade with Wade for Wireless, and I just wanted to talk to you today about RF safety. And our friend, Jed Hester, over at the Hubble Foundation, needs some feedback. She's sending a letter out. She had a few posts on Facebook, and what she wants to do is do a study on RF radiation and how it affects a tower climber. So the tower climber is around RF all the time, right? Unless you're on a brand new tower. Depends what you're doing, but even if you work on dishes, even if you work well broadcast, you're definitely working around high RF levels. That's why they have to turn it down, especially if there's multiple antennas on the tower, especially in broadcast, because you're going by FM broadcast, you're going by TV, television, which is all digital. Well, I believe they're all digital now. And then there's guys that work on AM towers, you know, they climb hot towers. There's a technique to that. And then, of course, cellular deployments, public safety. Public safety, you're actually, well, used to be you were exposed to higher power with the trunking systems because they had to cover quite an area. And you were usually exposed to that. And the odds were, when you were in something like that, is that it wasn't keyed up all the time. You know, you were sort of playing the odds that it was only keyed up, let's say, 50% of the time. Now, with cellular, it's lower power, right? But it's probably radiating all the time. Now, someone can correct me on that, but it seems like there's always somebody somewhere in a cell phone. Even the guys at the tower on the cell phone quite a bit. And when you're not in the cell phone, it's passing data. You know, you're getting your Facebook updates, you're getting your Twitter updates and all that stuff. So chances are, you know, the cellular systems are probably keyed 80% of the time. And they're putting data out all the time. There's probably a channel, a control channel, that's putting data out all the time. I'm really not sure how they work anymore. I don't get into that part of it anymore. But anyway, getting off the subject, we're all exposed to RF when we're working out at a tower site, whether you're on the ground or whether you're in the air. So at the end of my blog, I have a thing about NARDA and the RF safety sensors, and they have RF awareness programs. So RSI has a website. I know I'm going backwards, but at the end of the blog, RSI has a website about their different products that they have for the RF sensors. So this feeds into that. Bear with me. I'm getting around to it. But basically what happened was Jet wants to do a study on this, Dr. Hester, and she wants to record the effects that we notice that RF has in our bodies, like forgetfulness. I'm really absent-minded. But anyways, forgetfulness, health effects, do you feel sick, depression, things like that. I'll read the letter here in a minute. I want to bring up one other thing. So I'm going to be at the IWCE conference out in Vegas, at the Vegas Convention Center. And I'm going to be speaking out there with some other people. And I brought this up before, but I thought it would be a good idea to bring it up again. So I'm going to be out there, and the reason I'm bringing it up now, one, to promote it, because I'm really excited to speak on a round table, be out there with several people talking about basically issues that affect the tower industry, acquisition issues and safety issues, and it looks pretty cool. So it's a round table. It's from 1 to 4:30 p.m. on March 17th. So I'm looking forward to that. It's less than 2 months away now. So at one, we're going to be out there talking about it. It's long, you know, 3.5 hours, but you know, they're going to have a break and we're going to talk about different things, and I'm going to try to, you know, walk out in the audience. So if there's any suppliers out there that can give me some safety gear, I'd be happy to, make sure I mention your name several times, cause I'm very grateful, when people help me out in something like that. And I'm going to be honest with you. I just don't want to lug the stuff across the country, and I imagine there's plenty of stuff already out there, probably newer and better stuff. So I'd be happy if you could help me out there. So let's get on to the letter. Here's what happened, right? I did a lot of stuff on RF safety, and I interviewed a lot of people that had problems after they got zapped by RF. Bruce L was one of them. He's a really great guy. I really like Bruce. And he talked about how RF really, I mean, it ended his climbing career. it really screwed him up for months and months and months. The guy had a good job, you know, he was making good money climbing, did anything, and one day had an easy job. I believe he was only in the air for 2 hours, and I have his interview on there. It's not the best quality, so give me a break, but he really shared a lot of information of how it really changed his life, and not for the better. Now, he's a good guy. He's a really good guy, so it really caused him a lot of problems, so anyway, the other thing, you know, when you're working on a rooftop, I didn't bring that up, but if you work on rooftops, you're exposed to a lot of RF as well. In fact, rooftops are probably more dangerous because you don't have the vertical separation that you'd have on a tower. Vertical separation is huge because, you know, most antennas, you know, they broadcast out, not up and down, not vertically. They do horizontally, or any antennas, any RF antennas that, you know, are hot. So here's what I want to do. I know I'm all over the place, bear with me, but Jet's doing research on how RF will affect climbers, and she wrote a letter, so I thought I would just read her letter. She sent this out to several people, and I believe she posted it in Facebook, and I did talk to her about it, so I'm not just putting this out there. You know, I got her approval, and I wanted her to know that I'd help her in any way I could, so here it is, people. During this year, I'm going to be devoting quite a bit of time to studying RF, radiation and telecom, hazards, mental and physical health effects, etc. I think this is a much more severe problem than most climbers realize. Sadly, I think it is a bigger problem than most employers care to admit to themselves or to their workers. I was wondering if you could tell me a few things and then pass the email and my address on to other climbers and think you might have had experience with RF. I am in a general finding mission, as it were, and I'm trying to gauge the climbers insofar as the kinds of experience that they've had with RF. For my preliminary understanding of RF and the information I have given, as well as I have researched on my own, it is entirely possible that climbers, as well as other at-height workers, could be injured by radio frequency radiation and may not even know it. There seems to be research out there that indicates some of the symptoms are both physical and mental. Excessive exposure to RF from transmitting antennas is dangerous to humans and could impact your tower climbing safety. Have you ever worked around RF radio transmitters mounted on buildings, communications towers, light poles, water tanks, utility poles, or otherwise? Do you have symptoms like depression, headaches, memory loss, mood disorders, sleep disorders, or otherwise? Are you familiar with or have you had any RF training? How complete was that training? Are you aware of the RF footprint surrounding antennas? Have you worked near live antennas? Do you think you have been injured from RF radiation? Your responses are important because it appears there is a lack of RF exposure training and there is very little knowledge by tower climbers of what exposure to RF can do to humans. If you think you could have been affected by RF, I would like to talk to you briefly about your experience. In addition, please feel free to pass this request along to anyone you know that works at heights or around RFR or RF radiation people. I greatly appreciate your assistance. So there it is. And I have Jet's email in there. It's Bridget@HubbleFoundation.com. And we're looking for honest feedback here. If you're new to the industry, here's the thing about RF. If you're new to the industry, maybe it affects you right away. Maybe it doesn't. I notice with some people, they have a low tolerance to RF. It really affects them in a strange way. I mean, they feel a little sick, a little depressed after they get off some towers. Could be the frequency, but I just think people are different, okay? And this is my opinion. I have no scientific fact to back this up. But some guys can work around RF. They can feel it, and it just doesn't seem to bother them. And I don't know if you ever worked around radar, but radar is very concentrated, right? Very high RF in a concentrated area. I mean, that you feel. I mean, in the old like Doppler radar, you don't want to get near that because that stuff is really powerful, and I think it affects your body. So I think different RF affects you differently. For any of you old timers out there like me that worked on a lot of public safety and two-way, I'm sure you got RF burns by working around an RF like antenna or even on a mobile unit, because I had several because I'm stupid, okay? Sometimes you're holding an antenna to test it or you're too close to an antenna. You just zap yourself. You just do dumb things that you get an RF burn. Now, I'm not talking about when tubes were around. Tubes were high power, okay? But I'm not talking about when tubes were around for, you know, we used them for in paging. We used them in two-way. But tubes would zap you. They took high voltage to operate properly. You know, as what back when you had 1,500 volts in a cabinet. Now, you know, a cabinet, 120 volts AC is as high as you get. Usually they're 24 or 48 volts. I'm not saying you don't get zapped from that, but it's a little different than working around 1,500 volts or higher. So I'm off subject, sorry. But I'm coming back though. RF has different effects on different people, and it depends how long you're around it, and it depends what frequency it is, okay? There's a lot of different RF out there. So when you're working on a tower, it's good to be aware. And she asked if you ever had RF safety training. I did. I had a lot of RF safety training. And you know what? But I didn't have it till later in my career. In fact, I think I told everyone, when I first climbed, it was just mentorship. I just learned off other people. I wasn't afraid of heights. I was able to go up there, do a good job. And that was back when we had the lineman belts. You know, we didn't have the harnesses you have now. Boy, when I got a harness, it was hard to get used to, but it was pretty awesome because you could sit up there. You had a seat. You know, like I said, I had the ExoFit, the DBI Sala ExoFit. I know everyone has their favorite harness, but I was able to sit up there for a long time and do my work. So it was pretty cool. You know, it was very comfortable. Compared to a lot of those harnesses out there. And comfort's huge when you're up in a tower for, you know, let's say 10, 12 hours a day. Comfort everywhere is huge when you're up there for that long. That's why I recommend a steel shank in your shoe, because you're one of those little cross members. And I recommend tying off 100% of the time. That is more a rule and an expectation now. And all those obvious hazards are out there. But RF is the one thing that sneaks up on you. It's the one thing you tend to forget about. Even though you're around it every day, you know it's there. You hold that phone up to your head. And your phone is very low power, but still RF. You know, it's still out there. People tried to blame phones for all the problems they had. And you know what? In all honesty, the cell phones of older days were much higher power. You know, I mean, it was, if you think about public safety, they used to have these high power, I'm going to say walkie-talkies, you know, but they had these high-power units which they held right up to their head, and they could be up to 30 watts years ago. Then they, you know, they lower power. Now they're very low power. They're less than 3 watts. But I still remember that. You know, we often asked about that, about if the high power would be a problem or not. I mean, it's just something to think about. And that was public safety. You know, the cops were doing that all the time, maybe the firemen. Now, ambulance, they really just used a radio in their truck. I don't remember them carrying around, paramedics carrying around too many radios with them. You know, they have so much other equipment. You know, they're trying to save people's lives. So anyway, if you have any information you can give Jet, reach out to Jet. Her email address is in there. She'd like to talk to you. Give her an email. Don't just email her and say, hey, I know about RF. Be specific in your response. Hey, I worked around RF. I've been climbing for this many years. I climb cell towers, broadcast towers. I do microwave work. Whatever you do, try to be specific and give her a heads up on what you're doing. Try to give an organized response. That's very important. Don't just say, hey, I'm a tower climber. Let's talk. I mean, you know, think how that sounds. What I'm trying to tell you is just give her some background. Don't shoot blind, because she's probably going to ask for background anyway. And I would imagine the obvious questions. How long have you been climbing? What type of towers do you climb? How high do you climb? Do you work close to these antennas? Do you do swap outs? Are they live when you climb? And if you do cellular work, everything's live. Nobody turns anything down anymore, right? I know when they put, like the two exceptions that I can think of off the top of my head, and I don't know if it still applies or not, but XM and Sirius, they had high power antennas and they were everywhere, right? They were on building tops and they're high power. And you really had to know what you were looking for. And when I took RF safety class, that was one of the first things they preached. Hey, look out for these antennas. Then there was Flow TV, which isn't around anymore, but they basically put broadcast out at all these cell towers because they were trying to cover cell phones, you know, as live TV to the cell phone. So the thing about that is you had high power again. You had to coordinate your climbs. And if you work in public safety, or if you work on microwave, or if you work on anything but broadcast, you aren't familiar with calling ahead of time. You just go up in the air. You know, it's cellular. It's low power. You don't give it a second thought. And with that said, that means you're around that RF all the more. So that's why RF detection is huge. And I did put something in here with RSI's websites all the way at the bottom. So you got to read all the way down. But I think everyone should have an RF meter now. And you know what? It's one more expense that the tower climbing crew has to incur. I don't think people realize, you know, a lot of these crews just think that the safety training is all you need, like the 1 or 2 day training, depends where you go. You teach them to go up in the air, you teach them to tie off, you teach them to do a controlled descent, not rappel, but a controlled descent. Anyone who anyone who took the training knows what I'm talking about there. So they teach you that, but really, to be well-rounded in tower climbing, and I think anyone who's taught for a company, because I did, you realize you need more than that. You really should have your OSHA 10. And you know what? Nate's putting out these standards along with, they're working on standards for the industry. And we have TIRAP now, the FCC and Department of Labor that got together, and they're setting up more or less an apprentice program. And Nate's going to set standards, and PCI is supposed to set standards. I don't know what's going on with that, to be honest with you. I just don't know. I don't keep up with PCI that much, as much as I should probably. I do try to catch news about them, but the requirement should be, it's going to be a lot more training. Now, we still have to get people out in the field for the experience and the apprenticeship, and I also think the ground crews are going to get a lot more training. RF safety is huge, right? They're also going to have to do tower and rescue, and I do believe that everyone out there should, you know, be trained in rescue at some point. Then you're going to have first aid. You're going to have CPR. You're going to have all this other training that builds upon your tower climbing and rescue training, okay? You should have rigging training. I mean, I learned to rig in the field. I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't have a course on it or anything. That's the same as the other thing they're going to talk about is like cranes, the signals for crane operators. That's something you should know. I had a cheat sheet. I just carried around a thing, which is in my one book, The Tower Worker's Aid. I had a cheat sheet where I just had the signals with me, so I knew what to do. And the other thing you should do, and if you don't do this now, you should do your hazard assessment when you get there, but you should have your tailgate meeting is what they call it. But if a crane operator's there, you want to talk to that operator and understand what signals he's looking for. Now, there's nothing like two-way radio. And with that, I mean, we just had these cheap radios we talked back and forth on, and they usually worked. They weren't always reliable because, remember, you're around RF. RF wipes out other RF. It overloads the front end on the walkie-talkie. But that's what you want to do. If you can talk to them that way, that's awesome. A lot of guys use cell phones. If they work on the tower, that's great. That's one of the best means of communication is voice. But you don't always have that option. Things fail, batteries die, you have interference, the front end gets overloaded, you can't talk to them. You need to have a backup system. You need to prepare for that backup system. That's why you need the signals. Same as your ground crew. And a lot of guys, you know, they just yell. And I get it. If you drop something, headache, headache, headache. I get that. No time to call or get the radio. You just want to scream down. And I've done that, communicated by just screaming at each other all day. And the end of the day, you sound like I do. Like I can barely talk all day anymore. I lose my voice at the end of the day. That's of course, that makes my wife happy because then I shut up in the evening. But anyway, RF safety, RF radiation, here's your chance to give feedback to someone that really cares about the industry, the Hubble Foundation. Jet's going to do this research, and it's a great opportunity for you to give her feedback. If you want to go to RSI's website, I highly recommend it. And I just think that RF awareness is huge. It's really something that we should know about and understand. And the other thing I think is important, it might affect you differently than it affects your crewmates. Just want you to think about that. Finally, take a look at my products out there. I created some things for you. You know, if you're new to tower climbing, I got the book, The Field Worker's Aid. That helps. That has some information if you're working out at a tower site. I have scope of work training for all you out there that want to really understand the scope of work, want to understand how to really request change orders. But the reason I bring it up in the scope of work training about change orders is because it's good to understand the process ahead of time. And when I say the process, I don't just mean the boss or the foreman, the people out at the site. If the foreman's at every site with his men, great. Well, I said men or women, with his crew. If the foreman's out at a site with their crew, that's great. They understand what they have to do to get the change order. A lot of people don't get paid for change orders, and that's the feedback I got. Now, I'm going to probably do a post on just change orders again, but some people have a good system. where they document everything and they expect to get paid. Other people, they really rely on the project manager to make sure it gets done. Why do people do the work if they don't know if they're going to get paid for it? Because they want to get done and they want to get paid for the original job. Some people will stop work. And I was on crews where I stopped work. I said, we can't complete unless you pay for this. And if I got a verbal, I would say, I want to follow up with an email or something. Because most of the time you're dealing with a customer that's sitting in front of his desk or has his phone with him. They can quickly send an email out and just say, I authorize this work, whatever it is, at this site. You know, work out a system. And again, that's why you should do it ahead of time. So, and then I have the tower workers logbook, which I come up with basically a spreadsheet so you can log your time, your drive time, your high time, your project. I want you to log each person's time while you're on the site, no matter who it is. And it's good to keep track of that. I wouldn't just log it and throw it away. Like, you know, a lot of you guys do, you tend to log things and then you don't keep a good record of it. That's why I think it's good to keep it in a file, and not only on a laptop, but maybe on a server back at your office. All right. That's all I want to talk about today. Again, feedback. Tell me what you think. Tell me what you think about the RF study. Tell me what you think about RSI's website, and tell me what you think about my products. Tell me what you think about this post. You know, give me some feedback. You guys are pretty good about that. I do appreciate it. Be safe. Be smart. Pay attention. If you have a plan, follow the plan. Even though you have to adapt, then you improvise, then you overcome. Take care, everybody.